I want to encourage everyone here in the sanctuary as well to do the same thing. Grab your Bibles, turn with me over to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 30, chapter 30, as we turn to that fifth book of the Bible, the end of Torah. There, as Moses writes for us, we're going to be looking at several verses in just a moment, and we'll also be considering things that the New Testament says about our redemption, our salvation, and our freedom to choose God. Last week, we heard God's word remind us that, you know what, God has chosen us for salvation in Christ, and he did that according to his foreknowledge. He demonstrated in doing so, he is absolutely sovereign over our redemption. But as I said last week, there's also another truth found in Scripture, and it is the ability that he gives us to make a choice. And we must affirm that it is a mystery in these two things that we find in Scripture. How do we understand them? And you have to come next week as we put it all together, okay? And so I'm stringing it together. So you know what? You don't want to miss a week, and we also want to hear God speak. But I think we would all agree today, I think it's pretty obvious, that we make choices, amen? Life is centered around that, right? L-I-F-E. It's centered around those two little letters, I and F, right? If I choose this, then my life goes in this direction. If I choose that, my life goes in that direction. If I choose not to do this or not to do that, then there's also consequences from that, right? Life is all about choices. Now, the problem is we live in an age where no one wants to take responsibility for their choices. Amen? All right, am I the only one, Brother Steve, who recognized that today? We live in a world that no one takes responsibility for their choices. The culture, the society around us has developed a very fine art of escaping blame, right? Blaming others, whether it's our environment that produced and caused us to make that choice, or whether it's just we're victims of our biology, how we are woven together, and it's someone else's fault that I made that choice. Or maybe it was just circumstances that were beyond my control, and so I'm a casualty to those circumstances. There are many reasons why people today don't want to take responsibility for their choices. And they think, listen, we're all just victims. You've heard of that, victimhood, right? It's something that's pretty prevalent in our society today. But when we open the Scriptures, what do we discover? We discover that we do make choices and we are responsible for the choices that we make. Scripture shows you and shows me, listen, there's not some blind deterministic forces that are influencing you that cause you to make those decisions. We make a choice. God has made us moral agents. He has given us the ability, being made in his image, he has given us the ability to have real freedom and the real capacity to weigh those choices, and accountability one day will be had. We all will stand before him one day, and we will give an answer for the choices that we make. And so regardless of what the world says, I am responsible, you are responsible, we all are responsible for our choices. And nowhere is that laid out more clearly, I think, right here in Deuteronomy chapter 30. Moses is addressing the nation Israel. And he's at the border of the promised land. These people are about to go into the promised land. Moses won't go into the promised land, but they will. And what's amazing is God is telling them, giving them the option through Moses and the word that he brings them of a choice that they must make. And he lays the truth wide open before them and demands that they make a wise choice. He wants them to choose the right thing. He illumines them with truth, and everyone who's there, the truth is presented, and now they have to make a personal choice. And what's fascinating is he says life and death are tied up with this choice. Well, that's pretty important, isn't it? My life and death and the choices that I make, that's pretty significant. Not just life and death, he'll say good and evil, blessings and cursings are tied with these choices. And so it's important that I listen clearly and I hear what God is saying, and then I respond rightly to the choice that he presents before me. But what we'll even discover, and when we go over to the book, to the New Testament and the book of Romans, Paul grabs these verses and he brings them into his presentation of the righteousness of God that's found in Christ Jesus. And he says, you know what? There's an even more significant choice. Not just life or death, eternal life and eternal death are at stake. With what you do, with what God presents you, and the truth that God gives you, particularly in the good news of the gospel. We learned last week, listen, this is a critical truth that we affirm. God is sovereign. He is sovereign in his choice and in choosing us in Christ for salvation. But today we want to focus on our responsibility as mankind for the choice that we make and the choice and the opportunity that God gives us to either accept and obey the gospel or to reject it. And there's serious consequences depending on which decision you make. There's only two paths, okay, in life. Is God's way or my way? And here's the thing. This is the significance of it. God's desire is that you choose his way, a way of blessing, a way of promise, a way of life. And so I want you to stand with me as we find these two truths and we wrestle with them in Scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you'll follow along with me, I'm going to start reading in verse 11 down through the end of the chapter. Moses records for us these words, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It's not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. And that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments, his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away," that's a choice, "so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them." Pray with me this morning. Father in heaven, thank you for this word that is near to us today. It is in our mouths. It is in our hearts. May your spirit give us understanding of it, Lord, as how to apply it in our lives today, Lord, and how to discover that the choice that I make can be blessed by God. Lord, give us the desire to make that choice today, to follow you in obedience, Lord, to turn away from the wrong path, Lord, and to avoid the cursings that are there for those decisions. And we praise you today, Lord, even if we have made wrong choices in the past. Our life has made some choices, Lord, and we look back at the decisions we've made. May we make the right choice today to realize my life can be made new in Christ. And Lord, I can begin making new choices following him. And I pray that someone under the sound of my voice would realize that today, as a family did even in the first service, and recognize they need to follow Jesus. Lord, let that be the case today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We are reading the section of Moses' final days, perhaps his final hours on the earth. It's his farewell address. And he has already reviewed the law. He's given the law, the second reading of the law, to God's people. He's renewed God's covenant with this generation that had been born in the wilderness. Remember, because their fathers didn't have faith and wouldn't go forward in faith and made the choice not to go into the promised land and believe that God was able to do what he said he would do. Joshua and Caleb, the only two of the spies who said, "Let's go." All the others saying, "No, no, we can't do that." And turning back in faithlessness. Because of that, a generation died in the wilderness. And God, for 40 years, raised up a whole new generation that would go into the promised land and experience the blessings that God had intended for his people. And Moses is preaching to them. He's sharing with them. He's speaking to them. He's about to die. He will not go into the promised land. You say, was Moses not saved? No, I remember Jesus, he was there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus and Elijah, right? But what Moses writes is that, listen, don't try to keep the law. You'll die outside the land. Walk by faith like Father Abraham. Believe what God says, and you will find eternal life in the Lord. And we need to realize that today. Moses is presenting an option, a choice to God's people. You can go forward in faith. You can choose to listen to what God says and take and have faith and go forward and experience his blessings, or you can reject it. And there's consequences for that choice. Now, what's fascinating is Joshua, who will lead God's people in, we'll see in just a moment, he presents a similar choice to God's people at the end of the book of Joshua. In fact, it's fascinating. All throughout Scripture, you find this time and time again. Even the prophet Elijah there at Mount Carmel, calling on God's people, choose for you this day, Baal or God. Take your pick. But there's only two options. You either go God's way or you go your way. Now, God's way is a way of life. It's a way of blessing. It is the good way. And God is inviting everyone here in the sanctuary this morning, those listening on the radio as well or watching online, God is giving all of us a choice today that we can make. Why? You see, the gospel, good news, is always near, and the command is always clear what we are to do. Moses dispels any notion that God's truth is far off or impossible for us to receive. Notice what he says here in verses 11 through 14. Notice how he highlights these words. You might want to underline it. This commandment which I command you today, notice this, is not too mysterious for you, and nor is it far off. He's saying, listen, God's word is crystal clear. God's revelation is obvious to you. There is a choice you must make. God has not hidden his salvation. He hasn't hid it up in heaven, and we need somebody to climb a ladder and go up there and get it and bring it down to us. He's already brought it to us. Hey, we don't need someone to get in a boat and go across the ocean because God's put it over there on the other side of the sea and bring it back to us. No, no, no. He says, no, it's right here. Notice verse 14. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and it is in your heart. And why is it there? So that you can choose to do it. You can choose to obey it. This word is present. God has given us light. He has given us truth. He has given us revelation. In fact, what's fascinating is we've already established that in our study of essential doctrines back in January when we did the doctrine of revelation, and we focused on this. God speaks. He is speaking. All of creation is speaking. Everywhere that the sun runs its course, Psalm 19, everywhere that its rays shine down on this earth, anyone who feels that sunlight, God is speaking a word, general revelation, and man are without excuse. No one can say, God has never spoken a word to me. In fact, Paul would say over in Romans chapter 1, over there, he makes crystal clear that one day when sinners stand before God, no one will be able to stand there and say, I was ignorant. I was helpless. There's no excuse when you get before God. And he says it in this way, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they know God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Paul is saying, listen, all of creation is speaking, and it's saying there's an almighty God. Beloved, you look through a microscope, you look through a telescope, it doesn't matter what part of creation you look at, it is declaring to you and to me, there is an almighty, powerful God who has made all things. He is there. And no one can say, no, I don't see him. He's not there. Those things testify. Some would say, you know what? Their design demands someone who designed them, right? I mean, whether you look through the telescope or the microscope, what you see is an amazing creation that there is someone who has designed and put in perfect harmony, and it works amazingly with laws and structure. And Paul says, listen, though you can deny it, you can reject that. Even though you know God, you don't glorify him, you don't thank him, your heart, your foolish heart, will become darkened if you do that. Your heart will grow harder to truth. But creation is speaking. And all of it is declaring there is a God. Now what's fascinating is that light shines into this world. God gives light. I love what Proverbs 13:13 says. We're responsible for the word that comes to us. Now the amazing thing is God speaks in a variety of ways, not just through creation. He has spoken through the scriptures. He has spoken through dreams. He has spoken through visions. He's spoken in a myriad of ways. And what the word of God says in Proverbs 13:13 is he who despises the word will be in debt to it. Or you can also translate it, will be destroyed. In other words, when God speaks, however, what manner he speaks, if you despise that, that's the Hebrew word, buzz. That's my favorite word to teach the children in school, in children's church and whatnot, right? The Hebrew word buzz, though I don't want them to do it. But let's be honest. Mom and dad once tell us to do something. We say, I'm not going to do that. That's literally, the Hebrew letters give that feel. Buzz. I despise that. I'm not, it's a scoffer. It's someone who knows better than God. You despise God's word, you will not only be in debt to it, you will be destroyed because you reject the truth that could save you. But then the proverb goes on, it says, but he who fears the commandment will be rewarded. If you reverence God and what he commands you and I to do, you know what will happen? Praise God, we'll be rewarded for it. And I love what Jesus says there in the book of Revelation. Behold, I am coming and I have my reward in my hand. Praise God, if you listen to what God is saying to you today and choose wisely, reverently, God will reward that. And that's why we want to choose him. And I'm responsible to choose him. I am commanded in the scriptures to obey what God says. And when you and I don't, then we're responsible for it. But these have the word given to them. Now, what's fascinating is Paul takes this good news for God's people. Now, again, it's not mysterious. It's not far from them. It's right near them. It's in their, listen, notice that. It's in their mouth. It's in their heart. That word is there. That good news is there. The good news is, hey, there's a promised land right before you that you're about to enter into and experience all the blessings that God had intended for you. Just go forward in faith and believe the word that God has given, that he is true to that word. Paul grabs these verses right here, brings them over to the book of Romans chapter 10. And over there in Romans chapter 10 in verses 6 through 9, he speaks and he talks about the gospel, the good news that's come to us. And that the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, bring Christ up from the dead? But what does this word say? It says this, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Whosoever does this can be saved. Whosoever acts upon this truth that has been given to them will be saved. You don't have to ascend into heaven. Christ brought it down. You don't have to go down into the abyss and bring it up. Praise God, he's risen from the dead. If I believe that and confess that, the Bible says we will be saved. And that's good news. The gospel is clear. It's accessible. It's proclaimed. And God reveals this truth plainly. Why? Because God's desire is that we choose him. In fact, he commands that. Over in John's epistle, 1 John, John says that God has commanded us, listen, to love him and to obey the gospel, the good news that has been given to us. God brings that word near you. God brings that word near us. God brings that word to us so that we will say, that's truth, I obey it. I'm going to follow it. I'm going to believe it. And we respond. Now the amazing thing is that choice is your choice. God does not force anyone to make that choice. God does not force you. You are not a robot that can't. You, listen, you make that choice. It's set before every soul. Moses says that here in Deuteronomy 30. Notice in verse 15 and following how he sets this before them. And that choice is set before us as well today. Not life in the land, the promised land of Israel. Beloved, I'm telling you, life in a land, listen, a new Zion that God is making for to spend eternity with him. Now notice what he says in verse 15, the choice, the solemn choice everyone has to make. Notice what he says here, verse 15, see, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. So what has he done? He has given us a choice. He has given his people a choice. He does that. You have a choice. I have put truth before you. I have given you truth. Here it is. Today I've set life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. So Moses is calling, listen, he's calling all of creation to bear witness to that. He's calling all of creation, there is a witness to the decision that they're going to make. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. So this is the option. Heaven and earth are called as witnesses. Everyone has to make a decision. You can't say, I didn't know. It's right there, the words before you. What will you decide? Men, listen to the significance of this. The choice you and I make as men affects our families, right? Do you see that? I put this before you that both you and your descendants may live. Man, we are the spiritual leaders in the home. We have a responsibility, listen, not just for ourselves and for our sweet brides, but also for our children. We will give an account for that. And it's a serious decision that we are making to go forward in faith and believe what God says and take him at his word and choose the path, to choose the path of life. Now, God offers us life. Remember, you know, when Jesus in John's gospel was with the disciples and he was preaching and he was doing miraculous things and the crowds were following him, and then he gave the hard teaching and people would walk away and leave, and he looked at his disciples and says, are you going to go away too? Peter said, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. Where would we go? God speaks. He offers us life. The gospel says not just life, praise God, eternal life is presented to us. Where would we go? We have to choose. We have to make a choice. I hear God speak. I hear him and I'm going to follow him and I'm going to obey him. This is the reality of moral agency. God demands a choice. And throughout the scriptures, what's what we find? It's part of what it means to be made in his image. He has given us the ability to make choices and the responsibility of those choices that we make. Our mind weighs the evidences. Our heart feels the weight of that decision. And then there's a will within us that we have to respond to what God says. You, me, we're all choosers in life. That's what life is all about, our choices. Now, what's fascinating is, this isn't just here, it's all throughout Scripture. If you flip over to the next book, Joshua, and you go to the end of Joshua chapter 24, Joshua standing before the assembly of Israel there at Shechem, he doesn't treat the people as mindless robots. He presents to them a truth, and here's the truth, and demands a decision. Over in chapter 24 of Joshua, verse 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord! Exclamation point. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that are on the other side of the river, or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But notice this, as for me and my house, he made a choice, didn't he? We will serve the Lord. Now what's fascinating, whether it's through Moses the prophet or whether through Joshua or even through Elijah the prophet and other opportunities that God gives his people, the choice is not an illusion. The choice is a reality. They are given the opportunity to either trust God in what God says and enjoy all the blessings and bounty that come along with doing that, or you can turn away from him. Turn to the dead idols. Turn away if that's what you want to do. But if you do, just know there's consequences with that choice. There is cursings that will happen. There's death that will happen. It's either a life that God offers in blessing, or it's death and cursing. Which one? Israel didn't always choose. We don't always choose right, do we? No, but we have the ability to choose. Every person makes a choice. Paul would say, he brings us over, choose. Here's the gospel. It's not far, it's near you. It's in your mouth, it's in your heart. Choose today. Which one are you going to do? The Spirit of God is convicting you, and he's trying to convince you. We've already studied that in the doctrine of theology, of the pneumatology, the doctrine of the Spirit. John chapter 14, John chapter 16. What does the Spirit do? The Spirit convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. And he convinces us of the truth. He helps us to remember all that we've been taught and shows us this is the right way, walk in it. But does he force us to make a choice? No. No, he doesn't. You choose. I choose. We all choose. Now, mom and dad, I don't know about you, but I'd love for my kids to always choose the right thing. Amen? Yeah, it doesn't always happen, does it? No. I pray for it. And you do too, I hope. We do pray. Hey, but it's important for me and for you as men, as moms and dads in our homes, let's make the right choices and show them the way. Not just tell them the way, let's show them the choices we make that honor God and that are a testimony of our redemption that we've experienced in Christ. Everybody has a choice. God's offer, choose life, choose death. Choose eternal life, choose eternal death. We are responsible. Now here's the amazing thing. God, when he speaks here, he talks to them and he says, listen, not only that you choose, but going back to the Deuteronomy chapter 30, what's fascinating is you have to choose, and that could involve turning to him, turning, and the whole turning is the idea of repentance. Can we just be honest? Listen. What is repentance? I am choosing going the wrong direction. I'm making some choices in life, and they are the wrong choices. And people may be speaking to me and saying, you know what, you're making some really foolish choices. And I finally come to my senses, and I feel convicted, and I realize the Spirit of God works on me, and I realize, you know what, I need to make a different choice. and I turn around and I repent, I shuv, that's the Hebrew term. I turn and I start walking towards God and I make these choices now. And I'm walking in this direction because this is truth and I want to walk in this direction. That's a choice you have to make. No one forces you to repent. No one makes you repent. It is a choice all of us have to make. In fact, what's fascinating is when you go over into the book of Acts, you find Paul preaching there in Athens. He's on Mars Hill. He's there on the Areopagus, and he's preaching and he's sharing. And he says, you know what? Today, the times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of way of thinking. It's changing my choices. And I'm saying, I'm not going to choose that anymore. I'm choosing this now. And I'm walking in this direction. And God commands all men. Ladies, that's you too, by the way. All of mankind. Children, students, it's you as well. Not just the adults. All of us, God commands us to repent. Well, that just makes sense because 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us what? It's not God's desire that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. God's desire is that we all come to realize I'm going the wrong way. I'm making the wrong choices. I need to make a better choice, and that better choice is Jesus. And I turn to him and I start walking towards him and I say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. I see the Savior who died. In fact, I see the one who never made the wrong choice in life. He always chose to do the will of his Father. And because he did that, he chose, listen, he set his face like a flint. And he chose to go to that cross, to choose that, listen, to bring redemption to lost and dying world. And because of his choice and his willingness to choose, listen, for all of our wrong choices, he paid the penalty that you and I deserve so that we could experience, listen, all the goodness and blessings that God has for us. But that only happens if we, what does the scripture say? If we repent and believe. And that's a choice. I have to choose to turn and choose to believe. And we'll focus on that over the next 2 weeks when we talk about how we are born again. How does that happen? Next week, John chapter 3. And then the week after that, how salvation is by grace through faith. These are all tied together. And they're essential for you and I to understand so that we know that we're saved. We know we have chosen God and we have repented and placed our faith in him. Now, this is a mystery. These are two essential truths that are found in Scripture. These are two eternal truths that we affirm. Listen, the sovereignty and the foreknowledge of God, beloved, he knows everything that was going to happen before he even created anything that could happen. He knows all those things. He doesn't just know what will happen and what does happen. He knows all the possibilities of what could happen. And he still made this world and all the choices that would happen in it. But also we agree that, you know what? We are responsible for the choices that we make, either to receive or to reject the light that he sends to us. And see, God is totally sovereign. He works all things, as Isaiah would say, or as we learned in Ephesians chapter 1, he works all things according to the counsel of his will. Or as Isaiah the prophet would say in Isaiah 46, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all of my pleasure. You believe God knows all things? Amen. He does know all things. He is omniscient. He knows not only all things, he knows all possible things. And he's known it from the beginning to the end, before there ever was a time, before he made it. His foreknowledge, he knows. But not only does God know, we recognize he is sovereign over all that happens, but that doesn't mean, that doesn't erase our responsibility for what we choose to do. It establishes it, because we will have to give an account for all the things that we don't know that are going to take place, the choices we're going to make, but he certainly does. He knows all things. This is fascinating because what we have in Scripture is this presentation, even from Jesus at time, speaking to the religious authorities and speaking to Jerusalem. There in John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40, when he speaks to the Pharisees, he tells them, you know what? You search the Scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. Has the word been given to them? Absolutely, they have it. And yet they will not come to the one that the word is pointing to, Jesus, and surrender to him and acknowledge who he is, and they are not willing so that they could have life. Jesus doesn't say you cannot come because God locked the door against you. He tells them you will not come. The barrier was not some divine prevention. The barrier was the stubborn rebellion of their will. They would not acknowledge the truth. Jesus would say the same thing over in Matthew chapter 23, verse 17, when he speaks to Jerusalem. And he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her." What are prophets? What were they sent for? To bring the word of God. The word came. "How often I wanted to gather you, your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Why? Because they were stubborn. They were rebellious. They refused in their will. God doesn't force anyone to come to him. But man, he invites you. He says, come. He says, come. Look at what I have. He woos us with love. And he's shown us how great his love is and that he sent his son to die on a cross for you and for me. See, this light comes into the world, and yes, men love darkness more than they love the light. Scriptures are clear, right? And they love their deeds because they're evil. But God does not force anyone to choose heaven, but he offers it, an invitation. And that's the mystery of God's work. God's invitation is genuine. You have a choice. Salvation is a gift from God. And that offer is universal. Whosoever may come. That's what it says in Revelation 22, 17. Whosoever, you can come. It's clear. There's a gift that's right there. Anybody like Christmas? I love Christmas, amen? We're halfway there, y'all. It's August, okay? Listen, and I love at Christmas giving presents to my kids. I have joy in that. And I like getting presents too every now and then, but I really like to give them now, right? We're on the other side of that, okay? You say, well, give me some, Pastor. Okay, well, if I give you a present, right? What do you have to do? You got to choose to take it or reject it. All right? By the way, you don't reach in your pocket and give me a $5 bill for it either. Right? We don't do that. A gift is freely given. It's not earned. It's not deserved. It's free. It's the choice of the giver to give it. But someone has to choose, I receive that. I take that. I'll receive that free gift that you give. And see, at the cross, that's what God has given us. A free gift of eternal life if you and I will repent and put our faith and trust in Christ. But you have to take the gift yourself. No one can force you. No one can make you. It's your choice. And the sovereignty of God assures us, listen, that salvation that he offers, it's all by grace. No one can boast, I saved myself. I just received what God gave me, and I am so grateful that I chose that. I'm grateful. But I'm also responsible for the choice I made, whether I say, I don't want it, or, oh no, give it to me. I'm responsible. You see, those that go to hell cannot say, God never offered me anything. No, God has given us light, and we are responsible for the light that God gives us. We are without excuse, Romans chapter 1. But God has shown us, listen, what he has been willing to do for us. And those that go to hell, basically, they stamp on the mercies of God, Paul says in Hebrews chapter 10. So the question is, what do I do? You know, what do I do when God speaks to me? Well, beloved, you've heard God speak today. What am I going to do? What is my choice? What is my decision? Have I decided to repent and believe the gospel? Because the good news, listen, we don't have to climb up there to get it in heaven. We don't have to sail on the other side of the sea. No, it's right here. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart. But you have to make a choice. What will I do with this choice, with this truth today? And here's the thing. You say, well, I'll just put it off till next week. No, 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 no. To delay is to make a choice. You say, well, I didn't deny it. No, no, you have not accepted it. There's only two choices, accept or deny. And to not accept it immediately is not to realize the severity of the decision that you're about to make and why you should choose today. Today, that's why Scripture will say this over and over again. Today, if you hear His voice, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to place your faith and trust in Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior and experience the bounty of blessings that He wants you to experience as a gracious giver, as Jesus would say, that you and I might have life and have it abundantly. And it's fascinating. That's exactly how Moses ended over in Deuteronomy chapter 30. In verse 20, he said, listen, do this that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, listen, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which He has promised. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, God has already demonstrated and reached toward us. He's brought the message to us. We have to make a choice now. What will I do with that God-man who died on a cross? Will I put my faith and trust in Him and rest in the fact that He paid the penalty I deserve, my sins deserve, and I repent of my sin? God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner, a wretched sinner, and I can't save myself, but I'm going to trust in Jesus to save me from my sins and ask Him to be my Savior and Lord. Have you responded? Have you chosen to respond to that good news today? Because if you haven't, then today's the day. Today's the day. You've heard God speak. And now you have to make a choice. That's me, Pastor Chris. In a moment, that's why we give an invitation. We give you an opportunity to respond. We give you an opportunity to come and say, I've heard the Spirit of God speak to my heart. In fact, that's the amazing thing we find in Scripture. Listen, we affirm we got to make a choice. But then also in Scripture, we realize any choice that we make, guess who's at work? God. God's Spirit. God's Spirit at work in our heart. You say, Pastor Chris, you're talking out about both sides of your mouth. Well, I'm sorry, I'm just speaking what the Word of God says. All throughout Scripture, we find these two themes. They're woven together. And that's why, you know, as Peter would say, over in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, Jesus speaking there, preaching at Pentecost, preaching to those who heard good news, who realized, oh, what must we do to be saved if that's the case? And He told them, repent. That's the first step. Make a choice, turn, go in a different direction, and choose to go in the direction of Jesus. But Peter told him, listen, Jesus being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken with lawless hands and crucified and put to death. God knew His Son would die. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God foreknew all that in His plan of salvation. But God did not force those men to take Him, crucify Him, and put Him to death. They chose to do that. And God demonstrates it's a mystery. I don't know how He does it, but He is so sovereign, He can give free choice and still accomplish His will and His desires. Beloved, His will and desire is that you repent and put your faith and trust in Him and call on Him to be saved. And I want to give you an opportunity to do that. And I invite you to bow your heads for just a moment this morning. And if God's Spirit has spoken to you and you realize, that's me, I've not made the choice of Jesus, and I need to do that today, then I invite you to come here. Take my hand. Take Pastor Scott's hand. Take Brother Timothy's hand. Come and decide today, I need Jesus, and I need to trust in Him.